2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Let's pray and we'll get started. God, we thank you for these good words, and I pray that you would help us to find some encouragement in them tonight. It is a good reminder for us, dear Lord, that we are free in Jesus Christ. And so I pray that we would rest in that freedom and find peace in that freedom. I pray that your Holy Spirit would free us of the worries and the distractions and the things of this world, dear Lord. I pray that you would help our minds and our ears and our hearts to listen to you tonight, dear Lord. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that I would preach and teach in a way that brings glory to you. And I pray that you just let your word speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Paul had talked about in the verses before that we looked at last week that God had given the law in the Old Testament, and the law was good. It served a purpose. And when Moses was communicating with God on the mountain, and Moses wanted to see the glory of God, and God said, "Look, Moses, you cannot see me in all my glory and live." But he allowed Moses to see his back as he walked by, just a little bit of God. And this experience affected Moses physically, because when he came down from the mountain, his face was glowing, and it was evident before all who saw him that he had been in the presence of God, and the glory of God was radiating from Moses' face. And Moses wore a veil when he came off the mountain, when he communicated with the other Israelites, so that they wouldn't see the glory of the Lord fading. It says that the people were afraid of Moses when he came down, and I'm sure that probably was kind of a crazy thing. However, because of what it was, you would think there's really nothing to fear with the glory of the Lord. Nonetheless, Paul uses this story to make an illustration. He says, look, in the Old Testament, we saw God's glory a little bit. We saw a little bit of the glory of God in the way he interacted with his people, in the giving of the law and the commandments, and all of the things in the Old Testament showed us just a little bit of the glory of God. But Paul is really making the point that in Jesus Christ, we have seen God in all of his glory. We have seen the love of God in Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and gave his life on a cross so that we could be forgiven. We have seen the fullness of who God is. God came in the flesh, so to speak, and so we know God. Now, we haven't seen God in the way that we're going to see him one day when we are with him for eternity, but we have seen enough in Jesus Christ that it does not get any more beautiful. What is more beautiful than a man laying down his life, than God sending his only begotten Son to give his life so that our sins could be forgiven? Now, the problem with many of the people of Israel in Paul's day and still today in our world is that they still seek to live by the law. So Paul uses this story with Moses, and he says, look, the way it is now is the people of Israel are still trying to live by the old ways, and it's as if a veil is covering their face. They're not seeing the glory of God. They didn't see it with Moses because Moses' face was veiled. And he says the Israelites are still missing the glory of God. Why? Because they are missing Jesus Christ. And so he says, look, it's still as though their faces are veiled even to this day, Paul says. And fast forward to 2025, it's still true. The Jewish people still do not trust in Jesus Christ. They still seek the law. That veil is still there. They still have not experienced the glory of God. And so that's kind of a recap of what we talked about last week. But with that in mind, we continue to verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, what a beautiful verse we have there in verse 17. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, in the context of the audience he's talking to here, he's certainly talking about, in some level, I think, freedom from the law, that we are not under the law of Jesus Christ, that we are not under the wages of sin, that is death, but there is freedom for those who are in Christ. We are not seeking to live by the letter of the law, but we have found redemption in Jesus Christ. Now, when you flip over to Galatians and read it, that's kind of one of the main themes in the book of Galatians is freedom in Jesus Christ, that we are free, that we are freed from our sin, that we are freed from the law. And what do we do with that freedom? Paul says, look, don't use your freedom for yourself, but use that freedom that you have received in Christ and use it to serve other people. The love that you've experienced in Jesus, you need to use that to love other people. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, you may remember at the first part of chapter 3, he had spent some time talking about the ministry of death. That is the letter of the law, a letter that was chiseled in stone. We are familiar with the Ten Commandments. And there were, of course, plenty of other laws. But when he talks about these laws chiseled in stone, he's talking about the law, the Ten Commandments. Now, he's making a point at the beginning of the book. He says, look, we're looking for something better than letters chiseled in stone. We are living letters, he said, by the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. There's something unique. There's something beautiful. There's something about us that is more beautiful than the old system. And so he says, look, we don't live by the stone laws that are going to lead to death, but we live by Jesus Christ, who brings with him the Holy Spirit once we accept Jesus Christ. And so once we have accepted Jesus and the Holy Spirit indwells in us, there is freedom. Now that's good news for us, because in the law we are doomed. If we lived under the law still today, we'd be doomed, because our sins would be ever before us. We would be a slave to our sin. Even things that we may have quit doing that we don't do anymore, we would still have to answer for those sins. There would be no sacrifice that would be sufficient for those sins. And that is no freedom. There's no freedom in that. And so Paul says, look, why would you want to be a slave to the law? Go read Galatians again if you want some homework this week, short book. But that's the point he's making. Don't be a slave to the law. Don't be a slave to the letter of the law, but experience freedom in Jesus Christ. There's no peace if you know your sin is ever before you. There's no peace if you know that there is no power to overcome your sin. But there is great peace when we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit indwells in us. There is a freedom and a peace there. That when we come up against the sin, that we don't have to give in to it. Now maybe we do. Maybe we do more times than we want. But we don't have to. We have freedom over that in Jesus Christ. Those past sins that maybe even still the devil wants to bring up to us, we're free from those things in Christ. When we have asked Jesus Christ to forgive us and become our Lord and Savior, He has forgiven our sins, and they are cast as far as the east is to the west. And so there's great freedom, and there's great peace, and that only comes in Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, if you're following Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is within you, and you need to live in the freedom that you've experienced. Freedom from the law and freedom from our sin doesn't mean that we just have a license to sin and go and do what we want to do. That totally misses the point if that's our attitude. Oh, wait, Jesus died for me, my sins are forgiven, I can do what I want to do. Well, we haven't appreciated the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't die so we could do what we wanted to do. He died so we could have freedom, so that we could say no to sin, so that we could have the strength to stand up to sin. And that strength comes through Him. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom not to sin, but freedom to serve. Freedom to serve the Lord. Freedom to choose Jesus Christ. Yeah, we could choose to sin, but we don't have to. We're free from that. And that's a beautiful verse for us to remember. Verse 18, we all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, this is an interesting verse. You may remember in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 13, where he talks about that now, in the current world, we look in a mirror as though we're looking dimly. Like we can kind of make out what the glory of God is and how God works, but we can't see it clearly. Now, we have to go back in time to understand what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians. Now, when we look in a mirror, you see a perfect replica of what you are. I mean, it's as clear and as pretty as it can be. But in those days, they didn't have mirrors like we do. It would have been a piece of metal that would have been just polished to perfection. And while you could have seen your reflection pretty good, it probably wasn't quite as clear as what we would see in our mirrors today. So in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about kind of seeing in that mirror dimly. We don't see God fully. We don't see everything. We just kind of see a part of God's glory. I don't know that he's using that same idea here. I think he's using, when he uses the term mirror here, he may be using it differently. Now, he may be using it the same way. I suppose it's possible that he's saying, even still, we see God's glory, and even in Jesus Christ, but even still, we haven't seen God in all of his glory. And that certainly could be what he's saying. But I think that he's making a contrast with the veil. That is, those who wear a veil, they can't see God's glory at all. And so for those who are in Christ, we're not looking at a veil, we're looking at a mirror. We see in Jesus Christ the glory of God. When we see Jesus, we see the glory of God. It's reflecting back on us. We see the works of Jesus and the words of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And we see that, and that's reflecting on us and should reflect from us onto other people. And so he says here, we all with unveiled faces, that is, we don't have a veil on our face anymore. The veil has been removed through Jesus. We are seeing clearly. We are seeing so clearly. We are seeing exactly what the glory of God is in Jesus Christ. And he says, we are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that we've seen the glory of God in some way, I think, but we haven't experienced it in its fullness. That we've come to Jesus Christ and we've seen the love of Jesus Christ, and when we accept Him and follow Him as our Savior and put our faith in Him, then we experience the glory of God. But it's a process. It's not an instantaneous thing, but it's a process from glory to glory, to the glory that we've experienced now, to the glory that we will one day experience in its fullness once we spend an eternity with God. And so we're in this process of going from glory to glory. So maybe this is a good test for us, is to look at our life now and look at our life 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, ever how long it's been since you came to Jesus Christ. And you should look more like Jesus today than you did a few years ago. Now, if we accept Jesus and 10 years go by and there's not been much change in our life, I'm not saying you're not a Christian. Your sins may very well be forgiven. You may very well have faith in Jesus Christ, but there needs to be some growth in this process of going from glory to glory. That once we experience the love and the forgiveness through Jesus Christ and experience the glory of God, there should be some growth in our life. And so the question that we have to answer is there any growth? Am I walking closer to the Lord than I was then? Do I love people more than I used to? Do I serve the Lord more than I used to? Do I serve others more than I used to? Those things that used to be a struggle for me. The language that I use. Do I still use that language? My attitude. Do I still have a bad attitude? Do I still treat people poorly? Do I still gossip? I mean, there's lots of areas in our life. We all struggle in different ways. I don't know what your struggle is. We all got them, though. And there's some things you struggle with that I don't, and things that I struggle with and you don't. But there should be some measure throughout our life in which we can say, you know, this area of my life is getting better. And maybe there are some that are getting better and some that you still need to work on. Praise the Lord, God is patient. Praise the Lord, God doesn't say the day that we follow Jesus Christ, and now you must do everything perfect. If God revealed everything to us the day that we came to Christ and said, okay, here's all the things that are wrong with you, you better change them right now, boy, we'd be in big trouble because we could not change all those things. But that's why it's important for us to come to meetings like this, to read our Bible, to pray. Because as we walk with the Lord, we grow in the Lord. And there are things that God reveals to us maybe 15, 20 years into our walk with the Lord that maybe we weren't ready for. We weren't spiritually mature enough to take those things on to grow in that way. And so God knows that it's a process. Some grow faster than others. But there needs to be some level of growth. If you have a child that's in kindergarten, and then they go to first grade, and then they go to second grade, and every year they take every test, and they're still doing the same things they were doing in kindergarten, and then there's a failure in the system somewhere. If there's a failure in the system, it's not with God. It might be us. It might just need to be that we need to look at our life and say, okay, God, maybe I need to take some more things more serious than I am. God, maybe there's some areas that I don't know of. God, help me to see those areas that I'm not growing. Help me to continue to grow in those areas that I am growing. But there needs to be some sign of progress in our life as we are growing from glory to glory. And so Paul says to his people here, he says, look, don't get caught up in the things of the world. Don't get caught up in the law and the old system and all those things. Don't be a slave to sin. Now, we might not be caught up with the law of Moses. We're probably not struggling too much with that. But maybe there are things in our life that we have become a slave to. That we have become a slave to this, or we've become a slave to that. And these words that Paul speaks are true for us today. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We don't have to be a slave to our sin. It might not be easy to overcome those temptations, and there still may even be times that we fail. But we have to realize that there is freedom. That if we would seek Jesus, if we would call on Him, that He would give us the strength, that He would give us the power to overcome those temptations, to overcome our attitudes, to overcome opening our mouth when we shouldn't. Whatever it is, He can give us the ability to conquer those things. And it's not easy. But once we trust in Jesus and seek Him, and once we begin to overcome one thing and two things, boy, the weight of that sin and that struggle that we've been battling against, it just lifts itself. And we begin to experience that freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we want to live in that freedom through Jesus Christ tonight. Let's pray. God, we come to You. We thank You for these good words, and I pray that we would take them to heart. Dear Lord, I pray that if there are any areas that we need to grow, that You help us to see those areas. And maybe there's some You've been working on us, dear Lord, and sometimes it's a slow go, but we appreciate Your patience, God, and we thank You for giving us the grace and mercy. So help us to continue to improve and seek You on the areas of the things that we know we need to grow in. And I pray that You help us to be aware maybe of some things that we are not aware of, maybe some areas that have slipped up on us. There's some new things in our life that have reared their ugly head, dear Lord, and I pray that You just give us freedom over those things. So help us, dear Lord. You know where we are. You know what our struggles are. You know what our sins are, our temptations are. I pray that You free us from those temptations, but when they come, I pray that You give us freedom in them. That through Jesus Christ, dear Lord, through the Holy Spirit that indwells within us, that You would strengthen us and guide us. And help us to find freedom tonight in Jesus Christ. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.